You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. Hour one, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Glad to have you on board. A lot to talk about. Big day for Dak Prescott. Is Dak Prescott's contract the most overcovered story in the history of the NFL? He's getting paid either way. We'll have more on that coming up. We'll check in with the Dallas Cowboys. Joe Theismann, former Redskins great, former MVP. He'll stop by. Jason Sudeikis, the actor-comedian, Saturday Night Live member, former member there. He'll join us coming up a little bit later on as well. Phone calls are always welcome. Emails, tweets, all of the above. Say good morning to our great radio affiliates around the country, numbering 362 cities. Also, those on chat row and those watching on YouTube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. There's something going on with the Redskins. Now, we know about the name change, but there's something going on, and there were cryptic messages that were sent out last night and this morning. And I'll give you a couple of these. Jason Lockenfora works for CBS Sports. The warped and toxic culture of the Washington football team is about to be exposed in a sickening fashion again. Here's another tweet that says, there is so much going on at Redskins Park than a name change. I'm told by a source there will be some more news that will come out tomorrow. That's today, other than the name change. Another tweet, J.P. Finley, real busy week. It's not all going to be about the name, and it's not all going to be pretty. Once again, just cryptic tweets that were sent out last night and this morning. I've not heard anything about what's going on. Is there a story that's coming out about something that's happened internally with the Washington Redskins? Is it anything that's pertaining to that name change? Judging from what I'm reading here, this is a story that's separate from the name change. But we'll keep an eye on this with what's going on with the Washington Redskins. We know that they're going to be changing their name, or at least we assume they're going to be. And the question is when they do it and the turnaround time to be able to have this merchandise ready to go for this upcoming season. It's a pretty quick turnaround. And you have people who work with the Redskins, and their job is to do mock-ups of all of these nicknames. And what's it going to look like? So that's a big process that's going on. But this is something that feels like it's not bigger from the standpoint of how long it's taken for Washington to get to this point to change its nickname, the significance of that nickname change, but what is going on inside, internally. Now, you have to read between the lines sometimes with this. You know, does this coincide the goodwill, if you want to call it that, what Daniel Snyder's doing with the name change? And did he get maybe a heads up that there was an article that's going to be coming out? Is there, like, how inflammatory is this? And is this a way of softening that? I just put it out there. I try to read between the lines of the timing of all of this. How explosive is this story that's coming out with the Washington Redskins? Does it involve Daniel Snyder? Is it a toxic workplace? Maybe it's not coincidental. Maybe it is coincidental. Yeah, McLevin.
So we're all agree there's no way they can walk back the change to the name. It's not going to be the Redskins, right?
Well, they announced that they were retiring the name.
Right.
While mentioning that name, I think, 8 times in the memo. The press release saying we're retiring the nickname. Let's mention it 8 more times here. And I wonder if Daniel Snyder just says, hey, let's get all the merchandise we can and sell all of that merchandise while we can. You know, put it up on the Redskins site and let's sell it all while we can, because it's not going to be available after this. Plus, he's getting that revenue stream. And so as a businessman, I would think he would look at this and say, all right, I don't want to do this. I have to do this. And now I'm going to sit back and count my money as I make even more money off my my new nickname there. By the way, the Chiefs have had a pretty good offseason. Chiefs have had a pretty good last 6 months. That victory over the Niners feels like it was years ago. It was 6 months ago. Since then, The defending champs have been busy. So they re-sign Patrick Mahomes. They extend Patrick Mahomes, basically the biggest deal in pro sports history. Yesterday, quietly reached an agreement with their star defensive tackle, Chris Jones. And it wasn't cheap. 4 years, $85 million. So now you have talent locked up on both sides of the ball for the foreseeable future. You know, Mahomes has a hefty price tag. We know that. You want to continue to surround him with talent. And they've done that. You got Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. I love that they got LSU running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire. It's just a great change up. Got a rookie deal there. And there's only been one dynasty in the NFL in a long time, and that's the Patriots. But Kansas City feels like it could be a different kind of team. And like the Patriots, they have a quarterback who can win multiple Super Bowls. So far, doing a great job making sure there's enough talent around him to keep them in championship form, at least for the foreseeable future. And that's the goal. Get these guys, lock them up, and then you kind of fill in the cracks that you're going to have there. But if you can keep your core and keep it as long as you can, and, you know, football's all about, you know, interchangeable parts. Like, this is what the Patriots, the true brilliance of the Patriots is Belichick's ability to be able to plug and play. While you had that singular force at quarterback, you know, you're not going to be paying these guys a lot of money. They come in, they get a chance to win a Super Bowl. And Chris Jones didn't do much in the Super Bowl other than win the Super Bowl. He single-handedly, because he knocked down a couple of those passes. He didn't. I don't even know if he had a tackle. He might have had a half a tackle in the Super Bowl. No sacks. He knocked down three passes, including two in the final quarter. And Chris Jones, because of that, won the Super Bowl. Kansas City, with all their offense, they needed a play. They got a play and two plays, and it won them the Super Bowl there. But Chris Jones is a, when he's in the lineup, they are a different defense than when he's not. He is that formidable. Now, he's not Aaron Donald-like, but he is a very talented player, young player, and now you've wrapped him up. So now I know I got my best defensive player, my best offensive player, and I got them wrapped up, at least for the next 4 years, with Chris Jones. And Patrick Mahomes, I got him wrapped up for a decade. Yeah, Paul.
I wonder if that the Chiefs have never been a hot spot for free agents in the past. It's never been like the cool franchise. But now with Mahomes locked up, I wonder if it's going to be the place where veterans go to try to get that ring. Because now there's a big window. Mahomes is so young. Kelce, Hill, all those guys, they've got this window. I could see veteran players taking a little less. Like, remember when Chris Long went and picked up a ring with the Patriots?
Yeah.
That could be the program for the next few years.
This program brought to you by BuyRaycon. BuyRaycon.com/Patrick. Wireless earbuds, the way to go. Get 15% off your Raycon order. BuyRaycon.com/Patrick. Also, looks like the Titans won't get Derrick Henry's deal done. Titans and Henry not expected to reach a long-term deal by today's deadline. And this, according to Adam Schefter, Henry is scheduled to make $10.2 million this season and become a free agent in the offseason. Any franchise deals by Wednesday will be an exception, not the rule. I'm not surprised. I was hoping he was going to get paid, but once again, it's not my money, but Derrick Henry should get paid. In the old NFL, he would really get paid. But, you know, Derrick Henry is a singular force, and that singular aspect is he runs right through you. He runs. These other running backs that you have, it's about getting them out in space. You know, Christian McCaffrey, getting him out in space. Saquon Barkley, Alvin Kamara, that's the running back. That's why when you see Derrick Henry and you tell people that's the way the position used to be played. You used to have that style. Now, not that size, but that style. It was straight ahead. Here we come. Control the clock. And it worked for the Titans. And I've wondered this for years now with the proliferation of all the offensive weapons and passing stats. And would somebody be counterculture and run the football? Now, the Patriots, I think, are a running football team. Seattle is a running football team. Certainly Tennessee is a running team. So there are teams that, you know, look at the Ravens. It's running the football. And I do think that the next wave is going to be the quarterback, the mobile quarterback who can run, put pressure on the defense, and throw deep balls. That Lamar Jackson is the prototype. We look at Patrick Mahomes. To me, it's Lamar Jackson. It's hard to find a Patrick Mahomes. I think you have a better chance finding a Lamar Jackson than you do a Patrick Mahomes. And Lamar Jackson's special. Keep in mind, nobody thought that he was a starter in the NFL. Right? When he was in college, oh, he's a great college player. I don't know if he can play. I don't know if he's got a good enough arm. Now we're looking for him. Patrick Mahomes, risk taker. Don't know if he's disciplined enough. Yeah, he played in the Big 12, weird system. Everybody throws for big number. Here we are. So we look at these quarterbacks, and we try to project that that's the way they're going to play the position, or that's the way to play the position. Then you get the anomaly that comes along. So the two best quarterbacks, the young quarterbacks in the game, nobody projected that they were going to be. Mahomes is the best player in the game right now. And if he's not, then it's Lamar Jackson, or at least close to it. And these are guys that the scouts spend hours, days, months trying to assess, and they couldn't do it. And that's why it's a little tricky when it comes to that position. Like Dak Prescott. If Dak Prescott played in Jacksonville, no one would care. They wouldn't. They wouldn't. Dallas, everybody cares. And that's why it's the most talked about story in the NFL in years. This has been going on for how many months? And nothing has happened. But that doesn't stop people from talking about it every single day for a team that went 8-8 last year. They didn't even win their division. Yeah, Paul.
But is Dak Prescott overrated or underrated because he plays for the Cowboys? Because his stats, if you look at last year, you would take those stats with almost any other franchise,
yeah, like,
except for maybe five quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But he gets, I guess, over-critiqued because of the position he's playing and the city he's playing in.
Well, what happens, definitely, you put the star on the helmet, all of a sudden, and McLovin brought this up yesterday, he goes, what, the Cowboys got, you know, some big names on defense. I said, they're big names because they're on the Cowboys' defense. If DeMarcus Lawrence played in Cincinnati, no one would care.
It'd be Geno Atkins.
Yes, no one would care. But because you're on the Cowboys, people care. That's America's team, and people want clicks. They put in a headline there. Dak not worth whatever, $50 million a year. Dak worth $50 million a year. People are going to click on that. Dak Prescott is a good quarterback. I don't think he's a great quarterback, but I think he's a good quarterback on the verge of being a very good quarterback. But if I put him on Jacksonville, no one cares. People barely care about Russell Wilson being in Seattle. It took him 8 years to be an overnight sensation. Like, oh yeah, Russ is good. People don't care. You quarterback Pittsburgh, Green Bay, Dallas, you're going to get a lot of attention. You know, Green Bay to a certain degree, but we'll find that out with, you know, Jordan Love. But Dak Prescott is a good quarterback, and those are really good numbers he put up. But they didn't win their division. I'll take less numbers and more wins because everybody gets caught up in these stats. Look at those stats there. There are a lot of guys who put up great stats. I want to know when you win. That's why when somebody says, well, what's his quarterback rating? I go, if you factor in victories in a quarterback rating, then I'll care about it. And I've said that for years. It's about winning. And I think in growing up, watching the NFL when I was growing up, it was about your quarterback won games. So if Bart Starr didn't put up great numbers, but Bart Starr was big in big moments. And that's, I mean, he's a Hall of Famer because of that. Bob Greasy in today's NFL would be pedestrian. But back then he did what he was asked to do. And I know that who gets upset when I call him a game manager? What quarterback do?
Most of them. Alex Smith?
Oh, yeah. Alex Smith.
Kirk Cousins?
Yeah.
Joe Montana?
No, you said he was a game manager. I didn't. But when I would say that Alex Smith was a game manager, I meant it as a compliment because he manages the game. You have to be able to understand what do I need to do and when do I need to do it. And I thought Alex Smith was underrated. He manages a game. You think through a game. It's like a pitcher who throws or a pitcher who pitches. And it's different. You can throw 98 or you can be Greg Maddux. Greg Maddux managed a game on the mound.
Game manager, Greg Maddux?
Yes.
Are you the first one to say this?
Yes. Yes. I hope Greg is not upset with me. But I grew up in an era where you managed a game. It wasn't, hey, I threw for 450 yards. Did you win? No, but I threw for 450 yards. Yes, McLovin.
I always see like Bart Starr and Bob Greasy's numbers and wonder why they're in the Hall of Fame based on
those
numbers.
They won. I mean, Bart Starr, I think one year had 8 touchdowns and 15 interceptions or something like that. And they might have won the Super Bowl that year. But they were a team that ran the ball. And then when they needed to pass, he had Boyd Dowler and Carroll Dale. And he'd, you know, look at the Super Bowls against Kansas City and the Raiders. I think Bart Starr played extremely well in a big moment. You know, the quarterback sneak against the Cowboys in the Ice Bowl. You know, Bart Starr getting some traction just to get the quarterback sneak to win that game and go on to win the Super Bowl. Yeah, McLeod.
System QB. Though.
Yeah, might be. Might be.
I have no idea what the system was.
Yeah.
So wait, if running is the trend now and 2 years ago it was Sean McVay was the trend, is there going to be a whole new trend once people adjust to the running?
I don't know if I was all in on the Sean McVay trend.
Everybody who met him got a head coaching job.
I know, but I didn't meet him. And
otherwise, you'd be a coach right now. You'd be gone.
Yeah, and probably fired. It's like when Chip Kelly was reinventing the NFL, and then it didn't take long before the NFL said, I think we figured this out a little bit here. Sean McVay, you know, we love to label people geniuses. We love to throw that tag out. He's a genius. All right. You gotta do it for a while. Because when they figure you out, then you do something different. That's when you're a genius. Not, look what I did. And then all of a sudden, somebody goes, oh, that works for 1 year. Now what's going to happen? Like Lamar Jackson is going to face a different defense this year. This is where John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson prove just how great they are. Because now you're going to do something different. You'll adjust. That's what you have to do. And it goes back to what I said about Belichick. Nobody in the history of the sport has ever adjusted as much and as successfully and as quickly as Bill Belichick. Tony Dungy and I would watch a game, Sunday Night Football, and he would tell me, he goes, look what Bill's doing. And I go, what? He would do these little subtle things to change up from one quarter to the next. So in the game, the adjustments that he would make. And that's where you have, you know, certain situations where these quarterbacks have to be able to do that. And Chris Jones signing with the Chiefs, that's a great move for them. They haven't had any off-field drama, keeping everybody happy there. And you got Mahomes wrapped up and now Chris Jones. So that's a big move for Kansas City. Big move. But back to Dak Prescott. No, I'm kidding. Let's take a break here. Is it Happy Dak Prescott Day? Is it every day Happy Dak Prescott Day? He's getting paid either way. So, like if you said, man, bad day for Dak, didn't get the long-term deal. So, if I look at the numbers there, I'm guessing, this according to Albert Breer. Quick tweet on Dak Prescott. If he doesn't get a deal, there are three outcomes. Number one, $31.4 million this year. Unrestricted free agent in 2021. Number two, $69.1 million over 2 years, unrestricted free agent in 2022. And number three, $123.3 million over 3 years, unrestricted free agent in 2023. And free agent before he turns 30, that's what Dallas has to beat. Happy Dak Prescott Day. We'll take a break, come up with a poll question. Phone calls are always welcome. 20 after the hour, this is The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Got a great research department here. Ethan heads up all of our stats, and he just sent me a stat. I was talking about Bart Starr. In 1967, Bart Starr started 12 of Green Bay's 14 games. They only played 14 back then. He had 9 touchdown passes, 17 interceptions. Green Bay went 9-4-1, won its division, won the Ice Bowl against Dallas, won the Super Bowl against the Raiders. In 3 postseason games, Bart Starr threw 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. The only rushing touchdown Bart Starr ever scored in his 10-year postseason career, 10 postseason games, was the touchdown in the Ice Bowl to beat the Dallas Cowboys. They probably didn't see that coming with Bart Starr running the football. Yes, McLevin.
I mean, you might trust that stat. I don't know. It's from Ethan, you know, a little shaky lately.
Wow. Why are we calling out the one guy we have who does stats around here?
I don't know. I'm just saying, like, yeah, maybe, well, Bart Starr did that. Maybe he didn't.
The one guy who just sort of sends in extremely useful information unprovoked is a little... let's dial it back, Ethan.
I don't ask Ethan, who does stats, to send in this information.
Yeah,
he
we know.
Listens to the program.
Yeah.
I ask you guys to come up with some stats. McLevin, I'm still looking for stuff from yesterday from you.
Ethan could have sent it in 5 hours ago.
Yeah, Ethan's making us all look
That's
bad.
True.
We have no idea how much talk of this. How do we slow down Ethan on this side of the glass?
Ethan's making the Danettes look bad.
We just had a thing like 3 weeks ago. Andrew was just like, well, there's the Ethan situation. I'm like, what is this, Ethan? All of a sudden I get a, hey, can you add Seton to these emails? And I'm like, oh, this guy's a real problem. He's way too good at this.
Yes. Yeah, because I can mention something about Derrick Henry, and then Ethan will send me something before I've finished the sentence, and it makes McLovin look bad because he's supposed to be our information guy. Yes, Paulie.
And you know, with a name like Ethan, he's probably like 26 and really nice hair and well coiffed.
Yeah,
comes to work dressed nicely every day.
Go get her.
Way worse than you think. He's an accomplished statistician. I looked at his resume. Believe me.
Great.
No, he's really legit. It's terrible.
Well, thank you, Ethan, and continue to make McLovin look bad.
We're all doomed.
I started the show, and I mentioned that there's something going on about the Washington Redskins. We know about the nickname. That change is happening. It's not a question of if, but when. But cryptic post from last night from NFL reporters. Paulie then goes, you know, something came out a couple of days ago. And I said, all right, we'll see if you can pull it up. And so he sent me this story. The Washington Redskins have fired Director of Player Personnel, Alex Santos, and Assistant Director of Pro Personnel, Richard Mann II. So this is happening in mid-July. There's no explanation of this, and maybe this has nothing to do with this other story. But judging by the cryptic messages coming out from Washington, D.C., something is going on and something is coming out, and it is not going to be pretty with Washington. Is there something that a toxic workplace? But 2 members of the Washington Redskins staff were fired, and this was a quiet story. The timing is really odd. But this offseason, Washington has overhauled their organization. So Bruce Allen is gone. Jay Gruden is gone. The Redskins' name is going to be gone. And they fired, you know, their director of player personnel and the assistant director of pro player personnel. Maybe it has nothing to do with this. Maybe they're just cleaning the front office. But that was just a quiet story from 2 days ago and didn't garner any headlines nationally. I don't know if it has to do with anything that's being cryptically written here. But it feels like there is a bombshell story coming out about the Washington Redskins, and it has nothing to do with the nickname. Yeah, Paulie.
Isn't the irony that the fan base probably wants the owner gone and he's the one thing that's the constant. He's staying. The fan base probably wants to keep the name, and that's also going to be interesting going forward. If this goes south, this name change thing, and if some story comes out, does the NFL look into that ownership replacement situation?
Yeah, I don't know. That'll be tough.
That's a big one.
Jerry Jones is good friends with Daniel Snyder, and Jerry Jones is more powerful than the commissioner.
Yeah.
But
Jerry Jones is a businessman, and he has to think that this man could be bad for his business.
Yeah. Well, he's good for Jerry's business because his team's not any good, and they play in the same division. So he probably wants to, you know, probably tells Daniel Snyder he's doing a great job all the time. You know, doing a great job. He's a leader. Yes, McLovin.
Wasn't Snyder like a pioneer in making money, too? I think he sort of started the trend to monetize everything in the NFL. Mm. Remember he charged for training camp
way
back in the day?
Yeah.
That's like so he's, the owners kind of probably like him more than we do.
Give me the poll question today.
Oh, I got a few good options here.
By the way, Ethan is being called a system stats guy.
Oh,
wow. Yeah, I don't want to say who sent that to me, but somebody says Ethan strikes me as a system stats guy.
Okay.
All right.
Pre-show discussion.
All right.
Would you rather have the best defensive lineman, you can argue who it is, or like say the 10th best quarterback? So it's kind of off Myles Garrett and Chris Jones getting these huge deals. And me and Paulie were like, wow, you got to spend that money on quarterbacks. You're like, well, maybe you can build around a great defensive end.
It's hard to win a Super Bowl unless you have an elite quarterback. For the most part, these are elite quarterbacks who are winning Super Bowls. You can win a Super Bowl without an elite defensive lineman, I'm guessing. But at first glance, would I rather have Nick Bosa?
Well, I put Nick Bosa on there. Yeah, I don't know if he's the best lineman. Maybe Aaron Donald.
Okay. Would I rather have Aaron Donald or Jared Goff? Or am I putting Goff too high?
Hey, last year,
we make it Dak Prescott?
Yes.
Yeah, then we get clicks. Aaron Donald or Dak Prescott?
Say you're the Cowboys and you can spend that money today.
Or let's say I do Nick Bosa because he's younger and
Deshaun, or no, he's too good.
Yeah, he's probably. If I did Dak Prescott and Nick Bosa, who would you rather have for the next 5 years? Nick Bosa was probably going to be the MVP, it felt like, in the Super Bowl if the Niners won. Nick Bosa was great. And I guess he's kind of a sure thing. Yes, he.
In the last 20 years, 4 defensive players have won Super Bowl MVP. Take that, Ethan.
Mm. Whoa. Okay.
Yeah, that was a shot.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see how Ethan responds. Yes, Todd.
Don't you got to take Prescott or what would be considered an above-average quarterback? Because not only the importance of the position, but you can double-team somebody from a blocking standpoint. A quarterback, you know, you can put him in different positions. You can put him in shotgun. You know, he can release the ball a little sooner. I don't know how you don't take the quarterback over an elite defensive player.
Thank you, Todd.
Fair point.
Yeah, no. I said thanks, Todd.
Yeah, well,
a little sarcasm.
Was it?
It was a traditional thank you, Todd, instead of like, all right, Todd.
Was that a very obvious
because
point?
The against the grain sounder was in support too.
Wasn't me.
Yeah,
it wasn't.
It was.
Yeah, it was. Of course, it was.
Why are you so quiet today? You didn't say anything.
No, we're not going down that road again. We're having a good week.
This is all Ethan's fault, Dan. You realize that he's got us all rattled
in the room is because of Ethan.
Yeah.
Todd never would have tried that obscure football point if it wasn't for Ethan.
Definitely not.
Everybody
got to step my game up now.
Everybody trying to show off for Ethan. All right, so what's the poll question?
Oh, that's one option.
Okay, all right.
But the one I really want to give out is NBA bubble related.
Ooh.
So there was a report that people are calling this tip line where you can call in a tip if somebody's breaking a coronavirus related rule. Which Danette do you think would call, most likely to call the
Todd.
Tip line if we were... See, I will make an argument against that.
Todd.
But you can hurt...
Todd wanted to have terrible. The suggestion box.
That's anonymous, though. Just, without
and so
name
is the
behind.
Tip line. Yeah,
Todd is the only person here who has suggested our very own tip line. That is true. To air grievances.
But they, and
privately.
That's not ratting somebody out, though. That's like the opposite. That's just making anonymous suggestions. It's a suggestion box, not a guess what so-and-so did box.
Oh, that is, you are completely reframing this. Paul, why don't you dial up the email? I know you still have it.
For those of us who are not comfortable addressing things in person, we could put it in a box. That's what
it was
email.
A way to address grievances amongst
that's
the
true.
Crew without actually talking to each other.
Todd, that's true.
But you don't necessarily know who it comes from, though. You could just cut out little, you know, words.
But that's
like
I think
like
Paul's too mean to me. But signed anonymous. But,
that would 12 years ago.
That's what this is with the NBA snitch line.
Yeah, but they have a way of knowing.
Well, we had a way of knowing because I knew your penmanship.
Especially because there's only four of us, too.
Like there's only four people.
Your penmanship is serial killer-like.
Perhaps that wasn't a great suggestion.
No, because I said, Todd, we know what your handwriting looks like. Yes.
To be fair, though, to put it in this NBA bubble context, Todd never leaves his hotel room, so he wouldn't be able to see people to rat them out.
I'd have to set up like hidden cameras or have some kind of IT person help me out with that.
This from Shams from The Athletic. Multiple tips have been placed into the NBA's anonymous hotline to report protocol violations on campus, sources tell The Athletic. Okay, what's the punishment? That's what I want to know. You get investigated by the NBA. Does the team get fined? Do you get fined? Does somebody get suspended? Yeah, McLovin.
They made those two dudes sit out for 10 days, quarantine.
Well, but they have to do that.
Right, but
that's not punishment.
Well, that's what the tip line is. They're going to say, I saw, which is why I think Paulie would also use the tip line, because you can hurt an opponent by saying, I saw JaVale McGee go off campus to get pizza, and he's gone for 2 weeks.
That's interesting. If I thought I could gain a competitive advantage by narking you out for getting some Jimmy John's, sure.
That's why the tip line is crazy, because you can hurt your other teams.
I don't know if you guys heard this story or not. This was Taylor Rooks via Bleacher Report, and she was speaking to Spencer Dinwiddie of My Nets, and he was giving advice for NBA players in the bubble. Here's Spencer Dinwiddie on Bleacher Report with Taylor Rooks.
Any words for anybody in the bubble?
Yeah, to all my fellow NBA players, don't call the snitch hotline. Don't cross the line to get Postmates. Don't fly L.A. work out. And last but not least, the Brooklyn Nets are coming for you. That's the way it works.
L.A. work is code for women in L.A., just letting you know. Didn't Spencer Dinwiddie, he tested positive?
For other things.
Yeah, apparently.
For other things, if you know what I mean. They should do like the real world down there. Get some cameras. I mean, this is going to be a blast.
Yes, McLovin.
Do you remember the Spencer Dinwiddie McLovin feud from a few years ago?
Yes, and I told you, I said, this guy's a good player.
Yeah.
And you were dismissive of my Spencer Dinwiddie.
Yeah. Ethan probably knew how good he was, but I saw you go to the Barclays Center, there's a life-size picture of Spencer Dinwiddie on the side of it. I'm like, who's this dude? And he'd already been scoring like 18 points a game.
Here is the suggestion box email. February of 2009.
My son hadn't been born yet.
Wow.
That's how old this is.
Wow. Mailbox located outside front door of new studios, or just set it up somewhere within studio. It could be suggestions from listeners, or we could have fun with it and use as employee staff suggestion box. It would be our passive-aggressive way of communicating with one another.
It gets worse.
For things that need to be addressed outside of our comfort zones.
I'm trying to figure out what of 123 different reasons I would have sort of set me off to have written that. That's
everyone has issues at their workplace and wish they had the courage or some type of way to verbalize or communicate their anger or frustration. Could be funny to incorporate this. Yeah, it sounds like that's what you're going for, Todd. Laughs.
And this is just over 2 years in, I think, right? If it's 2009.
But everything is, it's serious, but Todd says it's going to be funny. So we can address these issues that we have in the studio Hey, for a staff so small to have a suggestion box would be kind of funny.
In and of itself.
Yeah, but that's not what you're really suggesting.
But the irony is a half-hour post-show was created that has a lot of these elements in it, some of which were funny, some of which was attacking one another. It was, instead of a suggestion box, it was called box score. That led to something.
Yeah, the money paragraph. It would be our passive-aggressive way of communicating with one another for things that need to be addressed outside of our comfort zones.
You know what is, it's fun. So this is, you know, a year and a half in to the show, right? One, it's very clear that this is someone in great pain, desperately trying to reach out to address some major issues that we've spent the last 12 years making fun of them for. Well, so that's clearly only gotten worse.
No, but Todd, this is about funny and letting the audience in, and it could be funny. So we've taken your suggestion.
Yeah. Do you feel bad, Dan, that you didn't approve the suggestion box in 09?
Yes, I do.
It's a major mistake.
Yeah. Because I don't know if anybody would have submitted anything other than Todd.
You could have had a whole book of stuff, though, that could have been published.
Yeah. But it would have been funny.
There could have been some humor, though.
Because that's what it's all about. Yes, he.
Speaking of funny, I just went to the Dan Patrick Show Wikipedia page to get my dates correct. And I just noticed that every time Todd is referred to, it's T-O-D because he lost. Remember when he lost the other D? Somebody went through and edited all of the times Todd has mentioned to T-O-D, Fritz.
Why did I take away one D?
He guaranteed a guest. And you said if that guy doesn't show up, you lose a D on your name, I think. And he no-showed. Oh. I think it was like Rodney Harrison or something.
But didn't we do a name tag? Hello, my name is Todd, T-O-D. Yeah.
I smell a shirt.
Hello, my name is Todd. But it would be funny, Todd.
It would be funny.
Yeah, that's what it's
Todd
all.
Then we take Todd Ler and take the second D off, and you have just T-O-D-L-E-R. There's all kinds of things you can do.
Interesting play of the day is coming up next involving the Dodgers. Have that for you next here on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. We were just reminiscing, going down memory lane as we brought up Todd's email that he sent to everybody about the suggestion box, his passive-aggressive way of saying, can I air my grievances here? This was February of 09. We also had a former boss who... Now, we give the impression that we've got it made here on this show. I mean, look at this man cave. You know, we always have a great time when we go to L.A., but there's been some turbulent times here behind the scenes. There was a moment where... We had a sponsorship with Dunkin' Donuts.
And actually, it was an unnamed donut chain that also served coffee, Dan.
Okay. And I remember we were using these coffee mugs to give some signage, some publicity for the company. And so we had styrofoam cups. And I said, well, we're going to need a new one each day. And one of the members of our management team says, why don't you guys just wash those out and use them the next day? So styrofoam cups, not, you know, reinforced cups, hard cups. And I don't know how often you can wash out a styrofoam coffee cup.
Dishwasher safe?
I don't think so. But I went, wow, did I make a mistake leaving ESPN? Now I'm reusing my Dunkin' Donuts coffee cup.
That was like 5 years in. I wonder if I still should have stayed back.
I went, oh my God. We are really short. Our budget is not as profitable as I thought here. Play of the day is brought to you by buyraycon.com/Patrick. That's 15% off these wireless earbuds. You want to hear music, not your roommate or family's music. And these are the way to go. Buy Raycon.com/Patrick to get 15% off. We have Ethan News. Ethan is our stat guy, a system stat guy on the Dan Patrick Show. And we've never met him. He just sends in stats. And he's really good at what he does. And Paulie said that he had some bad news about Ethan, our stat guy. McLovin gets territorial. Because McLovin is our nerdy stat guy.
Supposed to be.
Yeah. And he's been demoted because Ethan is really on the fast track right now. Yes, Paul.
Dan, Ethan, the stat guy. That's where I went to college.
An Ivy League school?
The Ivy League school.
He went to Harvard?
He went to Harvard.
Get out of here. Yeah.
I took a shot. I asked him, well, you didn't go to Ivy League school by chance, did you? He goes, sure did. Harvard.
Oh, McLovin.
That's just where he got his business degree. He got his undergrad at Yale.
Yeah. Man. He got his MBA.
Dartmouth was a safety.
Got his law degree from MIT or whatever.
Double major.
Yeah. Oxford.
And he's from Philadelphia.
No
what?
Way.
No! Oh.
So it's just in. Oh, McLovin.
So I'm basically like, I'm an inferior. I'm Ethan Cooperson Light. That's what I am. You're stuck with?
Yes. But Ethan is still going to help the show, and he'll do what you basically are supposed to do. But he'll, yeah, I think that he's a modern version of you.
Imagine if there was like some bizarro twist of fate that Ethan also worked at Sports Illustrated, and they're like, hey, who's next to meet with Dan? And they're like, Ethan. Andrew? Ethan. Oh, no, it's supposed to be Ethan, but then it ended up being Andrew. That sounds like a like Sandler movie or something. Like one guy's life goes, they go completely different ways.
My God. What if there's like a picture of him and Andy Dalton on a jet ski in the Gulf of Mexico?
He went into business with Kevin Cobb.
All right. He's Case Keenum fan.
Yeah, he's written a book with Case Keenum.
See, if there was a suggestion box, he could have just put in, like, how about no Ivy League or Harvard people get hired and done my job.
There.
Full circle. We're going to get back to sports here in a minute because it's Happy Dak Prescott Day. We'll check in with the Cowboys coming up. Could you see a scenario where Dak Prescott moves on from the Cowboys after this next season? Just a thought. Phone calls are welcome. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP Show. 1 hour in the books, two more to go.